Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're really going to shake things up a bit regarding housing stability and what freedom actually means.
Yeah, we're looking at some pretty provocative material.
Absolutely. It challenges this, bedrock assumption that owning your home automatically equals freedom.
Right. The idea that the deed is the goal.
Exactly. But these sources, especially this essay, Housing, Mobility, and the Price of Being Still, they argue something quite different. They suggest that in today's world, with all the uncertainty, job market shifting, climate issues, the real asset might not be the house itself. It might actually be the ability to move socially, economically, geographically.
That's the core idea. So our mission today, for you listening, is basically to give you a mental toolkit. How do you design a life that has both roots and
Right.
wings?
Stability and agility without getting bogged down in endless spreadsheets. How do we get security without just sacrificing all our options?
Okay, let's dig in. And interestingly, the sources suggest we're kind of fighting uphill from the start because of language itself.
Language, how so?
Well, it's fascinating. The words we use push us towards separation and staying put, like apartment. It comes from the French apart.
Meaning apart or to the side, huh?
Exactly. Separate living is baked right into the word. And then you have the legal term for real estate, immobilia.
Immovable. Okay, I see where you're going.
Yeah, so our language, our legal system, they subtly nudge us towards thinking flexibility is, I don't know, somehow less desirable, less adult.
That really sets up the tension, and the material makes this great point. The value of a home isn't just the sticker price, it's the cost of staying, plus the cost of leaving. And thinking about staying having an active cost, that changes things. It puts the trade-off front and center.
Definitely. You can almost see it like designing a system. Are you optimizing for staying put, for immobility, or are you optimizing for movement, for mobility?
Okay, let's tackle the default first. Immobility. The classic 30-year mortgage, the house. What are you
Yeah.
buying there?
Well, you're buying stability, right? A
Yeah.
sense of control over your space, the potential for equity growth over time, and you can paint the walls whatever color you want. Customization.
You build your nest, basically.
Exactly. But then the material flips it. What are the hidden risks? Well, your main asset is tied to one specific spot.
Hyperlocal risk.
Totally. What if the main employer leaves town? Or taxes go way up? Or increasingly, climate risks like floods or fires hit your area. Your capital can get stranded.
And getting out isn't easy. Selling, packing, moving, high friction, as they call it.
Massive friction.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the other side? Mobility, renting, maybe co-living, van life. Anything that lets you move relatively quickly.
What are you buying there?
Pure optionality, really. Flexibility. Much lower costs if you need to leave, if a great opportunity pops up across the country.
You can actually take it, maybe next month even.
Right. But there are definite trade-offs, too. You don't capture that same equity growth, generally. There can be a higher coordination load, finding new places, moving.
And this interesting phrase the source uses, social anchor drift. What's that about?
Yeah, that one's important. It's about the slow erosion of deep community ties. If you stay put for 20 years, you build up these anchors,
Like
right?
the neighbor who keeps an eye out, the local shop owner who knows you.
Exactly. Friends who just show up if something goes wrong. When you move around a lot, you're constantly rebuilding that social network from scratch. You might have wider connections, but maybe not as deep.
So you trade depth for breadth in your social life. That makes sense. Okay, going back to immobility, the mortgage. The source has a really sharp take on this.
Oh, yeah. It reframes the 30-year mortgage, usually seen as peak security, as something else entirely. It calls it a leveraged, concentrated bet.
A bet. That doesn't sound very secure. A bet on what?
On four very specific things, all needing to go right for decades. One, your future income stays stable or grows.
Okay.
Two, the desirability of your specific neighborhood stays high. Three, government policy, taxes, interest rates, they all remain favorable.
That's a lot of variables already.
And number four, your own desire to stay in that exact spot for 30 years doesn't change.
Wow. Put like that, it sounds risky.
The synthesis is pretty stark. A mortgage is like taking a long position on one dot of earth and a short position on your future freedom.
Okay, that metaphor hits hard. A short on your future freedom. So the question becomes, is it really security we're choosing? Or are we maybe trading decades of potential options for, I don't know, nice kitchen counters and a fixed address?
And the guiding principle the source offers is choose the setup that minimizes your potential regret under uncertainty.
Meaning.
Meaning, if your future feels really uncertain, job, relationship, where your industry is going, then locking yourself down geographically creates a huge risk of regret if a better path opens up somewhere else.
Got it. So if immobility carries that concentrated risk, mobility is about unlocking the value of having options.
Precisely. It creates what finance folks call option value. Flexibility lets you do things.
Like what specifically?
Well, first, you can actually chase opportunity. New job, new relationship, new scene. You can go for it without this massive anchor weighing you down.
Right, no need to sell a house first.
Second, you can hedge risks. Climate change, making your area prone to fires, local politics getting weird. You can just leave before it gets bad.
A geographic hedge. Interesting.
Third, you can actively update your social graph, move closer to people who inspire you or support you. And fourth, critically, you can prototype lifestyles. Try living downtown, try living rurally before you sink huge capital into it.
That prototyping idea leads nicely into what the source calls the agile countermodel. It sounds like it's trying to move beyond just rent versus buy.
Exactly. It's a different way of thinking about structuring your life and living space.
So what does this agile countermodel look like? How is it different?
The core idea is optimizing for leases, not lanes. Think iteration. Change is expected maybe yearly or seasonally, not decades down the line.
Yeah.
But the really key part is this trade. Choose smaller private space
Okay.
in order to gain access to richer shared space.
Okay. So less personal square footage, but maybe access to shared stuff? Like what?
Think bigger. Maybe a really nice shared kitchen, much better than you could afford alone. A workshop, a maker space, a garden, maybe even a guest suite for visitors that you don't personally have to maintain.
That sounds appealing on one level. But shared space, doesn't that mean shared headaches? Coordinating cleaning, rules, noise. That sounds like a potential nightmare. Is giving up my own private kitchen worth dealing with communal drama?
That's the big question, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the source tackles it by focusing on the payoff, which is largely social and psychological. It connects to this idea of the headphone pandemic, how typical housing can isolate us.
Right.
And it brings in this concept from psychology, control level theory.
Okay, simplify that for us.
Basically, the further away something or someone is physically, temporally, the more abstract it feels, less real. Distance kind of dulls our empathy, our sense of connection.
So if my neighbor's just a name on a mailbox I never see.
Their problems feel distant, abstract. But closeness, that sharpens empathy. Shared spaces create more chances for what we could call encounter opportunities, random chats, seeing what others are working on, chances to help or be helped.
Okay, give me an example. How does this play out?
Well, the source mentions a co-living setup in Valencia. People there talk about this constant buzz of ideas, feeling more connected in just months than they had in years living alone in apartments. New people arriving weekly kept things fresh.
Stimulating, maybe, but what about stability?
There's another example from social housing in the Netherlands. Multi-generational homes built around shared professional kitchens, big prep areas. The actual design encouraged daily interactions, mutual help, just bumping into each other naturally as part of the routine.
So the takeaway is, home isn't just about the walls you own or rent. It's more about the quality of the interactions the space enables.
Exactly. Shared projects, gardens, routines. That stuff might matter more for well-being than, having granite countertops all to yourself.
You trade some privacy, maybe some personal control for more connection.
You could say you're exchanging maintenance for meaning.
Okay, I like that framing. So we get the philosophy. Let's make it practical.
Yeah.
How does someone listening decide? Roots or wings? The sources had some heuristics, right?
Yeah, they offered a pretty straightforward framework, the roots versus wings heuristic. You lean towards roots settling down if your work is very local and seems stable.
Right.
If you have strong caregiving needs or want deep community involvement, or if you really enjoy big home projects, renovations, that kind of thing.
Makes sense. And when do you choose wings?
You lean towards wings mobility if your job is volatile or remote, or your industry changes fast, if you anticipate big life changes, relationships, family moves,
Yeah.
or if your local area has significant risks, climate, political instability, etc.
And for people who like really concrete rules, there was that pocket guide section, some actionable
Yeah,
rules.
almost like mental shortcuts.
Yeah.
The first was the 5-year uncertainty rule. If three or more big things, job, relationship, family location, climate stability, feel uncertain for you over the next 5 years, seriously, consider prioritizing mobility.
Okay, that's clear. And the second one sounded pretty intense. the exit cost cap.
Huh, yeah, that one's radical. Keep your life streamlined enough so you could realistically relocate in under 30 days, making maybe three key phone calls.
Wait, hang on. Under 30 days, three calls. Doesn't that mean you can't own anything? Like books, tools, furniture? That sounds incredibly restrictive, almost like monk-level minimalism.
Well, maybe not quite monk-level. It's less about owning nothing and more about the friction your possessions create. The rule forces you to ask, is this thing adding true value or is it just making it harder for me to move if I need or want to?
So if I have specialized tools...
Maybe they belong in a shared community workshop, a shared asset, not cluttering up your small space and making your move harder, a private friction point. The three calls are just for the absolute essentials. Ending a lease, booking movers, stopping utilities, everything else ideally is digital or easily sold or donated. It's about fighting inertia.
Okay, that reframing helps. It's about preventing stuff from trapping you unintentionally. What were the other rules?
The third was community before commodity. Basically, prioritize living arrangements that increase your daily, casual interactions with people you admire or want to collaborate with. Choose community proximity over just, say, square footage.
And the last one ties back to the Agile model.
Right. Small plus shared. Opt for smaller private living areas and invest the resources you save time, money into accessing better shared resources. Better kitchens, workshops, gardens, co-working spaces. Simplify the private to enrich the communal.
But for this agile shared model to really work, the system around us needs to support it, right?
Yeah.
It's not just individual choices. We need to think about the true total cost of ownership, TCO.
Absolutely. And TCO isn't just the mortgage or rent payment. It's your time cleaning, repairing, commuting. It's the mental energy, the cognitive load of managing everything.
The opportunity cost. What else could you be doing with that time and energy?
Exactly. I often ask myself, what am I constantly maintaining just to keep this life running? If that maintenance list eats up all your time for learning, connecting, exploring, the TCO is too high, even if the rent is cheap.
That time I spent fixing a leaky faucet last month because I own the place?
Yeah.
That's TCO.
Definitely. And often, high TCO is locked in by outdated policies. Cities need to adapt if they want to enable more flexible, community-oriented living.
What kinds of policy changes were mentioned?
Two main things stood out. First, making co-ownership and co-housing models legally simpler and easier to finance. Current systems often assume a single family owning a single house for 30 years. We need models for shared ownership of shared resources.
So people can pool resources without complex legal tangles.
Right. It reduces that concentrated bet risk. And second, a really big one, massive investment in train-first mobility.
Trains. Why trains specifically?
Because if it's fast, easy, and affordable to move between cities or regions without needing a car for everything, the pressure to buy property near one specific job location just evaporates.
Right.
Good rail infrastructure directly enables the wings lifestyle. It reduces geographic friction dramatically.
Okay, this has been a really eye-opening deep dive. We've gone from questioning homeownership as freedom to exploring mobility, agile living, shared spaces.
Yeah, the core tension seems to be traditional apartments separate us, intentional communities connect us, mortgages root us, mobility lets us range.
And the big takeaway feels like true freedom isn't just ownership, it's having options and having strong relationships.
Mm-hmm. And maybe the goal isn't constant motion, but finding a smart blend, like maybe a small, easy-to-rent-out apartment in a well-connected city that's your anchor, your root.
But you combine that with deliberately seeking out wings, maybe seasonal home exchanges, or spending a month each year in a co-living space somewhere new.
Exactly. Which brings us to the final thought to leave you with. Think about the sheer scale of the planet, 510 million square kilometers. A mortgage, owning a home, it can be wonderful, necessary, a great root for a certain life stage.
Sure.
But if the only reason you're doing it is to pick a box, to prove you're an adult, according to some outdated script, you might be trading access to a vast world of experiences for just one set of map coordinates.
So instead of, should I buy or rent?
The better question the sources leave us with is, how much world do you want access to in the next decade? Then design your housing situation to actually serve that answer.